Today on The Grave Talks, who are we talking to? A conversation with Bruce Halliday. Who are the spirits that we communicate with on the other side? Technology such as the ghost box have helped to bridge the communication gap between the living and the dead. But is it always the dead who come through the box? Today we discuss who can come through a ghost box and how spirits use the device to get messages to the living with Bruce Halliday. The thing that many of us wonder about when we're using devices, whether it's a ghost box, an ovulus, EVPs, whatever it is that people are communicating with and they're getting intelligible answers back, is who exactly is on the other side of this? And I had an interesting experience over the weekend, and I can't think of anyone else better to ask this to or just to get their observations of than you. My family was here for the holiday. We're recording this around Easter time, and we went on a walk to a historic town here in Arkansas. It's called Cane Hill. Kind of reminds me of Silent Hill, quite honestly, because pretty much all historic homes. There's a few people that live there, but it's a really neat place. And we wandered through some of their really unique hiking trails into their cemetery. And I'm not an investigator. I'm someone who sits here in the studio and talks with people, investigators, and everyone in the field. But very rarely am I out there doing anything. So right. I don't have a bunch of equipment or anything like that. But we were
just
out there.
You had Tony.
What's that?
Just lazy, huh?
Not lazy. I need an extra day or five in the week to do anything more than what I'm currently doing. So I'm out there, and I thought, you know what? I'm gonna pop up one of those apps on my phone and just see what happens. And I the only one I had was the one that, you know, it's been around forever, and everyone can say this or that about it. I'm not arguing the legitimacy of it or anything. I just thought, what the hell? So I turned on. It was the Ghost Radar one that's out there. Somewhat like in ovulus in terms of you know, giving words on the screen. And right. I'm just standing there, and I was talking to the air, and I said, hey, you know, beautiful day here. I don't know if anybody's listening or if there's anybody near me, but I'm asked for if anybody could say who they were or anything like that. I didn't get anything. And so that's fine if you don't want to tell me who you are. I'm just curious. This is a real pretty place. And something I've always wondered about is if you are here, you know, why do you stay in a cemetery or in a graveyard if this is a place that you normally wouldn't have been? Just like I would talk to somebody else about. I was just being very conversational. And I said, I understand here because it's, you got a great view. It was very scenic. But what is it for you? Why do you like to be here? First word that comes across the thing, sunshine. And it's a beautiful sunny day, and I can totally see why that would be a logical answer. And I was really just kind of, wow. I didn't have a whole bunch of nonsense words that came through. That was the first thing that came through when I was trying to just mess around. Right. And I was curious. It certainly struck my curiosity, and I think almost put a little bit of a bug under me to maybe do more just beyond the studio after that experience.
Right. Okay.
Your thoughts.
I got a two-part answer for you.
Okay.
Okay. One has to do with the app itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one has to do with your question to the entities there. Why do they stay in a graveyard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First one, those apps are, when they're put together, like the app that you're using, Ghost Radar.
Yeah.
That app is loaded with a predetermined set of, like, I don't know, 1,000 words, let's just say.
Sure.
And what happens is the premise behind it is that supposedly it can pick up an EMF surge or an energy surge that's around the device you're using.
Mm-hmm.
And that will trigger a response and a word will come up. Those words, the words that they choose for those apps are very generic. They're common words that are used, frequently, mm-hmm, in the English language. They're wide spectrum words that could pertain to many different things. Mm-hmm. Like you said, the word sunshine came up.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the odds are, but I would say about 50-50 okay. that it would be a sunny day. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, if you were there at night and the word sunshine came up, it would be completely irrelevant. But you associated that generic word, you associated it with being a sunny day. You know what yeah. I mean? It's like a medium, like a medium doing a cold reading. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're just like there's some mediums out there that are not that scrupulous, and they'll lead around to a certain answer, and they'll make the answer generic so that it can fit any number of situations.
Okay,
that's usually what those apps do.
Okay,
and the apps that actually give you like a ghost box type feedback mm-hmm. sweep. Let's say,
yeah,
they're preloaded with pre-recorded MP3 files. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the MP3 files are put in, they're scrambled. The app scrambles them into like backwards words, and you know, it'll chop the words up a little bit, but there's also words left in there that are full human speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll say like, you know, the most common questions from people that are doing anything, you know, any session like that with a ghost box app or like you were doing in the cemetery would be like, you know, is there anybody here? And, you know, the app is loaded with generic answers. Yes, no, maybe here, you know, stuff like that. You know, what would be the most likely answers to your questions,
sure.
to the basic questions an average person doing it would ask. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that as far as the apps go, I'm not gonna say anything against them. I'm not gonna say anything for them. I don't use them, mm-hmm. But you know, it's a different story in my case because I'm an old school traditional ghost box guy.
And that's wanted your opinion on it, because I'm fine if you burst my bubble. I just thought it was interesting.
I'm sorry about that, but with a traditional ghost box, yeah. with any kind of live sweeping ghost box,
yeah.
The signal that comes in is completely random. It's live continuously. It's changing
yeah.
from millisecond to millisecond, and there's no way that it can get that there can be any predetermined answers or any predetermined communication coming from a live sweep sure. device. So, you know, the apps tend to, a lot of people just threw them together to make a quick buck.
Sure.
There's 1,000 of them out there, you know, and, you know, I try to shy away from them. If anybody asked me to, you know, would I recommend using an app? I would have to say no, because they're not conducive to, you know, real live spirit communication. They're just it's more of an entertainment device.
And that's what I assume with most of them. I just found it very odd that I got that at that moment.
That's what it's meant to do.
Yep.
That, you know, it's meant to like pique your curiosity to say, that word sunshine could pertain to it's a sunny day, or it could pertain to the entities that are here like sunshine, or yeah. you know what I mean? And it piques your interest and it keeps you going. You know what I mean?
Sure. And, you know, honestly, what it did for me after I kind of had that experience was it wasn't like, let's get more apps. It's like, maybe I should actually get like some real equipment and actually do more.
There you go. Now you're thinking straight. All right. To answer your second question.
Yeah.
This is through gathering of communication over the years pertaining to the subject and the question of, you know, why would an entity stay in a graveyard? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's literally dead there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like there's no activity. There's nothing, you know, nothing that can keep their interest or whatever. Why would they choose to stay in a graveyard? The information I've gotten over the years, you know, I've accumulated over the years and come to a conclusion that when someone dies, when their spirit, you know, moves from their physical body, they are very confused. They don't realize what happened. They don't realize, you know, they might have had issues in the physical or, you know, situations that would tend to tie them to the physical world. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the most familiar thing to them would be their physical body. They tend to be frightened of leaving their physical body because that's where they're the most secure and most comfortable was when they were, you know, the only thing that they can associate in their mind right at that moment, you know, in the moments, hours and days or whatever of them leaving their physical body would be the security of that physical body. That's their main focus. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they tend to attach themselves to that, the physical remains. Now, of course, the physical remains are going to be removed from, you know, if they're laid out in a funeral parlor or at a church memorial service or whatever, you know, pending burial, they're going to stay with that body. They're going to travel with that physical body because it's the only thing that they're familiar with and secure with. So, of course, the body now is taken to a cemetery. It's buried, you know, and that entity, unless it loses that confusion, you know, or realizes its situation and has the capability and the opportunity to move on to the next plane of existence, mm-hmm. it's going to stay in proximity to its physical body because that's its most comfortable place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's from what I've gathered over the years of asking those questions about cemeteries, because that's not an uncommon question. That's like, you know, why would, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I was in a cemetery and I did some EVPs and, you know, I got some responses on EVP, but it baffles my mind. Like, why would a spirit want to stay in a cemetery? That question comes up, you know, not often, but it comes up, mm-hmm. you know, and I've done sessions on it over the years. And that's the conclusion I've come to, that they attach themselves to their physical body because it's an anchor of security. And I guess it takes, see, there's no time. They don't perceive time the way we do mm-hmm. on that side. So there's a minute to us, an hour to us could be a second to them or an eternity to them. They don't perceive time the way we do in linear space. So if you see, like, you know, you see an entity, like I've done box sessions and stuff in graveyards and communicated with specific entities that were buried right at that, you know, gravesite where I was, mm-hmm. you know, and you would look at the gravestone and it would say like John Doe, 1895 to 1917 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And you say, wow, it's, you know, 2005. Why would they, you know, why would he stay here from 1917 to 2005? You know, wouldn't you think that time span of, 80 years would be enough for him to realize that he can leave mm-hmm. this place and go on? But it doesn't, they don't look at time in that way. You know what I mean? So sure. What seems like a long time to us can be minutes to them or eons. It doesn't, you know, they don't look at time in linear form. So, I mean, I hope that explains a little bit.
It brings some light to that. It's interesting, with time not existing in linear form as we experience it, it does seem that other elements of human, you know, living life do, by saying that it's more comfortable to them, it's more secure to them to stay closer to their body. That would imply that there's a level of fear that must exist still on the other side. That's not necessarily something that's wiped away in death if they're staying by their body for comfort. That would imply that there's a reason, you know, you move away from something that makes you uncomfortable. That's usually a fear-based response. Would that be accurate?
Accurate, totally accurate. We carry all our emotions, all our personality traits, all our characteristics, our thoughts, our memories, everything gets carried over with us. It's all part of our consciousness. And that's what spirit is. It's our consciousness in a different form. See, the human body is only a vessel. It only carries our consciousness. It allows us to travel from one place to another in the physical world, carrying our consciousness, you know, it's just a vehicle to carry us from one place to another while we experience physical life. But all the things that we are, everything that we acquire during our physical life and before and after, stay with us on the other side when we move to that, you know, to the spirit realm. So, I mean, I've had, you know, I've done extensive research on that question. And that's, you know, just by basic communication, I mean, you can tell, you know, that the personality and the emotions and you know, the fears and the anxieties and the pleasures and, you know, whatever you want to attribute to, you know, being a physical emotion or physical presence is apparent. It's definitely present when I speak to entities that are not of this world. So, a matter of fact, it's funny because I do my sessions and I make single, like I'll ask a question when I do my session, and then I'll allow a certain amount of time of ghost box sweep after that, say 10 to 12 seconds for a response, because anything more than that, it becomes, the longer it takes to get a response after a question, the less relevant the answer would be. Mm-hmm. I mean, so the further away it gets from the question, the less validating it is. So I leave about 10 to 12 seconds after a question. So when I do my session, when I go over a session, I'll take the question and I'll take that remaining sweep that's after the question leading up to the beginning of the next question or statement, and I'll isolate that. And if there is communication following my question in there, what I'll do is usually, I mean, we only hear about maybe, I got just ghost box experience. I got about 15 years, just ghost box experience. And I've been doing ghost box research on almost a daily basis, mm-hmm, for the last 15 years. And I think I got a pretty good ear for hearing ghost box communication live.
Sure.
And I'm only capable of getting maybe 20-25%, catching 20-25% of it live. Mm-hmm. The majority of it you'll have to find in review of, mm-hmm, the recording. So the point being, what I do is I isolate those files. I'll isolate the question and any relevant or valid communication that followed it. And what I do is every couple of days I make up a video of that and I post it on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. It'll have the question, you know, it'll have that single file, the question and the answer and stuff, and it's made into a little video form, and I post one of those every couple of days. So recently, I've gotten contact. I had an uncle that passed about a year ago, and his name kept coming up, you know, in a couple of sessions that I did. So one session I did, I decided that I was going to try to specifically contact him. And it was successful. I specifically contacted him. He came through with answers to questions that only I would know or he would know, that, you know, it wouldn't be random, you know, radio signal that I caught or anything like that. It was specific answers, specific names and stuff like that. And he answered a series of questions. And one of the questions I asked him was, you know, how is it on that side? Can you tell me how it is on that side? And he responded to me, it's beautiful. They treat us good. Right. So I said to him, OK, great. I heard it live. I said, OK, great. I said, I'm glad to hear that. So you're happy on that side? He says, yeah, all I do is sit on my butt. You know what I mean? So that's him. Mm-hmm. That was his personality. You know what I mean? And he came across with the same, like, of course, like myself, he was born and raised in Brooklyn. He had the Brooklyn accent. He had the, you know, the gruffness about his voice. He was a 30-year Marine.
Sure.
You know, career Marine. So he had that gruffness about him, and he had that, you know, that forward way of talking. And it just, everything about it was him. Mm-hmm. So that was another, you know, way of proving to me that, you know, his personality carried over with him, his sense of humor carried over with him, his whole attitude carried over with him. So, and he portrayed that when he was communicating with me. Not only is that extra validation for me to believe that I was actually speaking to him, but it was also validation of the fact that, yes, we do carry the traits that we develop in the physical world over to the spirit world with us.
And you having that direct of a response where his personality, his grit, his candor, all of that, you know, just so obvious of who you are communicating with. It wasn't a simple yes, no, or something like that. That makes it, you know, very, very intriguing. What about when you are having a conversation or you're getting a communication back and forth? And let's say it's someone that you maybe did not know. It's not your uncle, where you could easily, right, you know, transfer that information back and kind of verify it.
Which is the majority, yeah, of the time.
Exactly. So that kind of leads us to the area then of who do we know? Do we always know who we're talking to and who they're saying they are to you?
Absolutely not.
Is it who they say they are all the time?
Absolutely not.
What sort of experiences do you have in that area?
I mean, on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I mean, there's entities that'll come through that, you know, I mean, if I ask for a specific individual, like, but just for instance, Frank Sumption. I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Sumption.
Sure.
He was the creator of the Ghost Box.
Yep.
And, you know, Frank and I had developed a friendship, you know, over the years. And, you know, we spoke on the phone and we exchanged emails and stuff like that. And when, you know, Frank had sent me a couple of boxes and, you know, we became not close friends, but we became friends over the years. And every now and then, I'll try to communicate with Frank if I have a question about something technical about the Ghost Box, or a lot of times during a session, I'll try to get information on if there's any way for us to improve the Ghost Box to get better communication, you know, technical questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Frank will come through. I gotten communications from Frank that I believe were actually from him, but a lot of times, I mean, there's ways that I'll know if it's Frank or not. You know, the way he answers a question, just the way I knew him in the physical. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and the information that he gives, the way he gives the information, any technical information, you could just, you know, for me, knowing Frank when he was a physical human being, it tells me whether it was him or not. And there's more times than not that I'll ask for Frank and some, you know, stray entity will just come through and say, yes, I'm here, or it's Frank, or whatever, and I know it's not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask a question and they'll give a, you know, they'll give a vague answer or an answer that doesn't pertain to the question that I asked or whatever. And I'll just, you know, I call them on it, you know, and I say, okay, you know, I don't know who this is. You know, I'm not angry that you came through and, you know, portrayed yourself to be Frank Sumption, but I know you're not. If you want to communicate, can you please give me your name? I'd be happy to communicate with you, no problem. You know what I mean? And 9 times out of 10, they'll either stop sending the communication in, you know, trying to make me believe that they're Frank Sumption or whoever I'm asking for, that they're not. And, or they'll give me a name, you know, and I'll address them with that name, and they'll send whatever message they can or they want to, and that'll be the end of that. But a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of times that there's, you know, you get false, I call them false entities, because they come through. And, you know, if you got to figure it this way. This is how I look at it. They're on that side. They have, you know, the only real connection they have with the physical world to try and get a verbal message through and to try and, you know, get their feelings across would be when someone's opening a line of communication that they can use.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they feel that, okay, this guy is asking for Frank Sumption, I'm gonna say whatever I need to say. I'm gonna get my voice heard because this may be the only opportunity I have to get my message through. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And they'll just come to the forefront and say whatever they have to say. And if you ask them, you know, is this Frank Sumption? Can you confirm for me that I am speaking to Frank Sumption? And they'll say, yes, you are. They'll lie to you because they don't want to break that line of communication. They want to keep that back and forth communication going. So they'll tell you whatever you want to hear in order to stay in that zone of communication. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be the most reason why it happens. There's other instances where there's negative entities, lower level entities that'll come through and they'll lie to you up and down. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear. And, you know, they'll try to get, you know, their negative message across or create negative energy to disrupt your session or disrupt, you know, your energy connection with the other side, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of that going on too. You know, there's a lot of variables that go with that, with the deceit. You know,
I was going to ask about that because I was thinking, okay, if you're getting something else that's not the person you're talking to, or you think you're talking to, or you're requesting to talk to, the immediate, I guess, knee-jerk response many would jump to is, oh, it must be something negative, or it must be something evil, or this or that. But you're saying that that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just, look, there's an open line of communication here. There's
right.
There's a pile of change laying on the ground. I'm going to take that change, you know, because it's there. It's free money. Why not? May not be intended for you, but it's there.
More times than not, it's benign. So, more times than not, it's just a situation of an entity, grasping the opportunity to send communication. And if they feel that the only way that they can get heard is to portray whoever you're speaking, you know, whoever you're asking for or wanting to speak to, then they'll do what they need to do to get across. But most of it is benign.
Sure.
Most of it is not negative. But there are times where you will get, you know, matter of fact, it's been a long time since I've gotten any negative communication through the box. I haven't had an instance in a while now, a long while actually, that I've had a lower level entity come through with a lot of negative responses and negative energy, cursing and name calling and growling and stuff like that. I mean, I haven't gotten that for a long while.
How do you handle that, or how did you handle that when you've had those experiences, when it is a negative or a lower level entity that's coming through?
Well, we spoke about this, I believe, on a prior show that I was on with you about the technicians.
Yeah.
Okay. Technicians, part of their job on that side is to try and run interference, something like that, like to stop any negative entity from communicating. But it doesn't, I mean, they're not all powerful. They don't have, unlimited power to just like they can't wave a magic wand and stop, everything immediately. So it does happen. I mean, the negative stuff does slip through, but usually, if it does come through and you're aware of it, you're aware that it's a negative entity, and it gets, to the point where you're receiving, harsh negative stuff, and you feel that, there's nothing you can do about it. Your tech can't stop it at that point. What you do is you just, you let your technician know that you're going to shut the box down to stop the negative, entity from coming through. And what they'll do is they'll shut down on their end, and you shut down the box on your end and just leave it alone, and you go back at a later time and, everything should be fine. But, there's individuals that just... It has a lot to do with also your energy connection with the other side. You imprint on a ghost box. When you use a ghost box, like I use the same ghost box. Matter of fact, I just lost it about 6 months ago. It just wore out and went the way of all things. I used the same ghost box for 10 years, every single session. And there's a thing that we call imprinting. And I came up with this theory years ago. It happens when you do ghost box session, when you open up that line of communication, the energy, your physical energy and the spiritual energy from the other side are combined. There's a connection. And what happens is, because there's an energy connection, the box acts as sort of, I won't say a sponge, but the box, of course, is a conduit for that energy connection. So it actually absorbs some of that energy signature that you create when you make the connection with the other side. And it imprints on that box, believe it or not. And the more you imprint on a ghost box, the better your communication will be, the stronger your connection will be. Because for lack of a better term, I'm going to say the circuitry and the structure of that particular box is very familiar and conducive to your energy and the connection that you make with the other side when you turn that box on. So you actually imprint your energy signature onto that box. That helps strengthen the wall against negative communication coming through. Okay? The bond that you create with your technicians, with the entities that are always there to help you, the energy connection that you make with them is a bond, and it strengthens over time. your energy combined with theirs is also a barrier against negativity. Plus, you have to approach, and I tell people this all the time. I mean, I get correspondence and Facebook messages and stuff from people all the time. I have a negative entity coming through. I don't know what to do. I can't stop it. They're threatening me. I'm getting bad, negative communication. What can I do? Mm-hmm. If you have a bad day, if you're in a bad mood, if you, God forbid, your dog died, or you got financial problems, or you're getting a divorce, or your wife burnt dinner, or whatever the case may be, if you have anything other than, which very rarely we do in these day and age, do we rarely have a clear head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You have to try to approach a ghost box session with the best mental attitude that you can muster.
Sure.
Because negative energy will beget negative energy. So if you go into you have an argument with your wife and you're, in the back of your mind, you're still agitated and you have that negative energy exuding from you, and you go and turn on a ghost box, that negative energy is going to draw, it's going to weaken your connection with the other side, and it's going to draw negative energy to you. Mm-hmm. So you're going to wind up getting, more negative communication at that point than you would have gotten if you go to a ghost box session with a good attitude and a good feeling. That's what I'm saying. If you don't feel good and you don't have a good, if you're not feeling comfortable and you don't have a good attitude and you don't feel good that day, don't do your session.
Yeah.
Wait until you have that good feeling and then go and do it. And it'll be much, much more productive, much more beneficial.
It's almost like you would look at other things in life too. Like, you're not going to go and try and do a bunch of exercises or run a marathon if you're hungover or really sick or something. Like, it's like, it's not going to work out well. So
right, it's common sense.
It's a very, and using a ghost box is more of an emotional, a mental connection than it is necessarily, like physical work. So you got to be right mentally to engage in something of that nature for it to work well for you.
Another problem that causes negative communication is people, I don't know for what reason, whether it's lack of knowledge or lack of experience, or it's to hear the apps come into play again and the devices that they're selling, that they're knocking off, like, these little, devices, little ghost sweeping ghost boxes, ghost box hacks that they're throwing out there for $50 that everybody is buying. You know what I mean? Like, people don't take the time to actually learn how to use a ghost box or a live spirit communication device, mm-hmm. or they take it in a lackadaisical fashion. I had someone recently tell me, a person that I'm acquainted with, but not actually friends with, it's an acquaintance, mm-hmm. but it's an acquaintance in the paranormal. And they contacted me not long ago asking a few questions. And they had made the statement that, I turn the box on and I leave the box running for an hour so that it can warm up. And then I come back and do my session. Mm-hmm. Big mistake.
Okay.
Big mistake. That not only is it's a big mistake for a couple of reasons. One, it's completely disrespectful. The entities that we're dealing with on the other side are, for the most part, disembodied spirits of human beings. And like we just talked about, they do carry over their emotions, their feelings, their attitudes to the other side with them. So it's sort of like me picking up a phone and calling you and say, hey, Tony, how you doing? Oh, good, good. All right, hold on. I'll be right back. And putting the phone down and walking away for an hour. Mm-hmm. And then coming back and saying, hey, Tony, all right, I'm back. How you doing? How's everything?
Sure.
And you sat there for an hour waiting for me to come back.
Yeah.
Now, normally in the physical, if I did that to you after 5 minutes, you would hang up.
Sure.
What I mean? On the other side, if we leave a live ghost box running and it's got that open connection and that portal, that doorway is open, and a technician is overseeing the session and guarding that portal so that nothing can come through to the physical side, and he's protecting that connection, he can't shut it down. He can't shut the ghost box down. It's here in the physical with us. So he has no choice but to sit there and wait. You know what I mean? So what you're doing is you're creating a bad situation. You're disrespecting the technician. You're disrespecting any entities that were waiting to communicate. You know, you're just taking it in. You're treating it like you're talking to the ghost box itself, the device, the electric device that's on the table. You're not. When you open that ghost box, is just a tool for you to make the connection and speak to, you know, intelligent, sentient, feeling individuals that are communicating with you. So treat them with the same respect you would any person in the physical that you would speak to or that you would call or that you would make contact with. And you'll get along, your connection will stay strong. See, a technician, like when you leave that ghost box running, the technician's energy starts to wane because the connection of your physical energy is not there. So now that leaves the door open, that weakens the connection. It leaves the door open for that negative energy, that negative communication, and negative responses to come through. So you're only hurting yourself. You're not helping it. The box doesn't need to warm up. It's not a car that's been parked outside overnight in 10-degree weather. You don't have to warm up the engine. Mm-hmm. As soon as you turn that box on, it's good to go. You know what I mean? If you're going to turn it on, sit down, focus on it, give it your attention, give it your respect, and use it at that point. I knew a woman, and this is back in the day. This is when we first got started. She was one of the first females to ever use a ghost box. She used to leave the box running in her home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
But she would not, she didn't leave her home. Mm-hmm. She was constantly in proximity to that box. She constantly talked to it as if it was a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the connection, the communication, and she used to get some crazy stuff, but I mean, she used to get communication continuously. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. Was that a right? I mean, I used to tell her all the time, you have to shut that down. You have to give them a chance to rest. That you can't have technicians, you know, doing shifts 24 hours a day mm-hmm. to take care of your open ghost box. But she never listened. And I think to this day, she still does the same thing.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Bruce. In part two, is it always the dead or spirits that we're communicating with through a ghost box? Or can it be other things as well? Can aliens come through a ghost box? Does physical location affect who you can communicate with on a ghost box? And can spirits improve themselves from the other side? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.